This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. Welcome to In Person with Dina Marie, our daily walk with Jesus Christ, our Blessed Mother, and the saints in our everyday lives. Guests include priests, religious, husbands and wives, missionaries, authors, speakers, evangelists, and you. Explore the joy of the gospel as we share stories from the heart and how to navigate our journey of faith day by day. And now, In Person with Dina Marie on Modern Day Radio.
Welcome to another edition of our in-person series. I'm your host, Dina Marie. Each weekday, we come together and continue to take a walk, a journey in faith. And if you're in the car, still getting to that next destination, maybe you're just closing up your morning prayer time and heading to your next appointment, continue to take Jesus wherever you go. What a beautiful weekend with Divine Mercy Sunday. And that just leads us into really being open and inviting our hearts to be open for those gifts of the Holy Spirit in preparation for the coming of Pentecost, a powerful time in the church, and this can be a very powerful prayer time for the whole world as we as Christians live out our Catholic faith and love of Jesus Christ. It's a pretty beautiful season, not only here in the Easter season, but this time in the church recognizing the 100th anniversary of the occurrences in Fatima going back to 1917. And we've been able to, through this broadcast, and particularly in the morning drive and through Catholic radio broadcasts, share some of the background history. Of course, we just heard about the upcoming canonization that will happen by Pope Francis in Fatima, Portugal, the weekend of the Feast of Our Lady of Fatima by two of the young shepherd children, making the first two young children martyrs canonized in the church. So a lot of things are being discussed right now about our faith and particularly tied to Fatima. One of the most amazing publishers that I know of in the world, really, to give us the best Catholic books and resources is Ignatius Press, and that's really been their heart as they've been around for, I want to say, close to 40 years now. Fatima Mysteries is one of the newest books released, Mary's Message to the Modern Age. And not only this book, which is very unique, and we'll talk about why it's unique and why it's very special, but there's been over the years many other resources about Fatima and other resources really about the devotions in our church that have been really coming through Ignatius Press that we're grateful for. Once again, we have the marketing director with Ignatius Press over in San Francisco, the home of the Golden Gate Warriors, I was reminded. Anthony Ryan is with us today to really learn about this new book, which is absolutely gorgeous. I can't wait to get into that, but also other resources as we celebrate this Easter season. Good morning, Anthony, and blessed Easter to you.
Good morning to you, and Easter blessings to you and to all your listeners.
Well, it is a Divine Mercy season, and with this Divine Mercy Sunday, we just celebrated, and it continues. It just doesn't end. It's just like Easter's. It doesn't end in one day. We take this as how we live our lives. Let's just get started a little bit as you look at the mission of a publisher like yourself, Ignatius Press, and the work that's been done by Father Fessio, and I think that spirituality of St. Ignatius with Ignatius Press, ways in which you really hope to serve the people in acknowledging and living out these seasons like Lent to Pentecost. I mean, how Ignatius Press can be part of that journey of our faith.
Sure. Well, you know, we've been very blessed to be able to, work with some great authors, Catholic authors, over the last 40 years and also involved with producing, but mainly distributing so many great films. So I would say if anyone is looking for, and we all should be looking for good spiritual reading, and the whole spectrum of spiritual reading, anything from books on prayer to, you know, apologetics to lives of the saints, scripture, etc., for all ages, really, for children on up through adults, or if you're looking for inspiring films, movies, or documentaries, we just have an incredible list, and again, thanks be to God, we're really blessed at Ignatius Press with all of these great books and films. So, yeah, you know, I mean, we're that's our mission is to promote the Catholic faith through these great books and films that we've been blessed to publish and distribute. And we're going to talk about one of the great ones today, or at least maybe a few of them.
Yeah. Well, and let's start with Fatima Mysteries, because it's a unique book. There's been a few others from the editors and in the past that's similar. We talked about this in the Christmas season on the 10 keys behind the kings in the story of the great Magi. Give us some history of the background, because you're teaming up with Rossicon Press. So this is really an international effort of publishing this book.
That's right. So we've done several books now with this Polish publisher. So Rossicon Press is based in Poland, great Catholic country. And they have among their writers and authors, they have a journalist named Gregor Gorny, a well-known, highly acclaimed journalist, award-winning journalist. And a maybe even more well-known and award-winning photographer, mm-hmm. Janusz Rossicon. And so they team up, and they travel to certain sites to tell a great story in word and in picture. And they've done that with, you mentioned one of the books on the Three Kings, but they've also done it on Our Lady of Guadalupe called Guadalupe Mysteries. They've done one on Faustina called Trust that we've talked about on your show. They've mm-hmm. done one on the relics of Christ called Witnesses to Mystery. And now this newest book that we're talking about today is called Fatima Mysteries, Mary's Message to the Modern Age. And so, you know, what they do is, as I say, they go to the area, the site, Fatima in this case, and they do incredible research, and they do interviews, and they go to museums, libraries, they talk to experts on the subject, and they just present this incredible overview, an in-depth overview of the story. In this case, it's Fatima. So the writing is very in-depth. It's very popular in a way. It's not too scholarly. I mean, there's certainly plenty of information there that research is brought. So it's not what you would call just a coffee table book, even though the photos are stunning. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just the photos are unbelievable in this book and all their books. But so it's really the best of both types of books. It's best, the best of a coffee table book, but and also the best of just a regular book on a subject.
Right,
because of the detailed text that Gregor Gorny, the journalist, is so good at presenting.
Well, you know, when you just open the book and you get to that front page opening that says Fatima Mysteries, and you see this glorious image that tries to depict the miracle of the sun with probably an original photo of those 70,000+ people that were there when the sun danced on October 13th, 1970. That catches your eye. I mean, just to begin this entrance of something significant happened, I need to learn more.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and all throughout the book, there's just stunning yeah. photo after stunning photo. But you're right, as soon as you open the book, you see this actual photo of the crowd that was there that day, 70,000 people in this backwater, no-place mm-hmm. village, Fatima. This is typical of Our Lady. She goes to often very humble locations, very humble people. And in this case, Fatima was, in 1917 was, just a small village. It was very poor, hard to get to. And yet, on this apparition in October of that year, 70,000 people showed up. And because they heard there might be a miracle, and mm-hmm. Some were believers, some were skeptics, some were curious, but there they were, and we talk about what happened, but that's the first photo you see, is that crowd, and then with the sun, and it just kind of grabs you right away, because that's the miracle that basically proved what she was mm-hmm. telling the children, as she said she would do. I mean, Fatima is such a huge story. Perhaps the greatest Marian apparition in the history of the Church, and it's not just my opinion, this is what a lot of Marian experts say, and also Pope Benedict XVI himself, an incredible scholar, he said that Fatima is more important and more timely today than it was back in 1917, and so his message is very emphatic. He said, learn, live, and spread the message of Fatima. It's as important as it ever was, perhaps more important. So, because the message of Fatima is really the message of the gospel. I mean, Our Lady doesn't come up with new ideas. She comes to reinforce what her son, our Lord Jesus Christ, taught us, and that is repentance, prayer and repentance, you know, conversion, you know, for our souls and the souls of others for the good of the world. So she came at Fatima to really just kind of reiterate that message, but she added some depth to it, and we can talk about that, especially about devotion to her Immaculate Heart. There's a great emphasis on that. And again, she said, God wishes to establish devotion to my Immaculate Heart, to bring peace to the world. She didn't say it's my wish. Mm-hmm. So this is the plan of God. And just so the, you know, those who don't understand Marian devotion properly, you know, Mary doesn't put herself in the way. She doesn't come up with her own ideas. She's there as an instrument of God. And she said, God wishes to establish in the world devotion to my Immaculate Heart, which will be a way of bringing, you know, both conversion and peace. So the, you know, the depth of the message of Fatima is incredible.
Anthony Ryan with us by phone at Ignatius Press, and as we talk about this latest book that has been released, Fatima Mysteries, Mary's Message to the Modern Age, you can hop online to Ignatius.com, find out about all of the resources, because not only this book, one of the newest books released about Fatima, but there's been so many over the years that have been made available through Ignatius Press, and of course the films that have been released and you've been able to distribute through. Let's talk a little bit more about this message as we are in the season of Easter, and as you mentioned, Anthony, this is really a message of the gospel. And when we hear a message, we hear from the apostles, we hear what they tell us, it should reflect, and it does reflect, the teachings of Jesus Christ, the gospel message, the accounts of the life, death, and resurrection of our Lord. If we didn't have a resurrection, we are completely false in what we're doing. So we know that there is a resurrection. Tell us about the significance that you found about this message of Fatima that should be significant to us today.
Well, yeah, and just tying the you know, the resurrection that confirms the, you know, the teachings, the message, the life, the death of Jesus Christ at Fatima, as I mentioned, Our Lady promised the children that she would perform a miracle in October. So she, her apparitions began in May of that year, and she basically appeared the 13th of each month, May through October, and she promised them a miracle in October so that people would believe, a miracle that would leave no doubt. And so like the resurrection, St. Paul said, if Christ is not raised, our faith is in vain. We are the greatest of fools if, you know, if the resurrection is not true. But it is. Well, in October, she performed this great miracle of the sun to prove that everything the children said they saw and heard was true, and that we should believe it and take it to heart. And let's just start with the miracle of the sun. So what happened? So 70,000-plus people showed up, including a lot of government people, a lot of journalists, photographers, newspaper people. You know, this had become a big story by then. And it was raining. So it was raining hard. And, you know, the children had no idea what the miracle was going to be. They didn't know it was going to be involved with the sun. They just knew there was going to be a miracle. So what happened was, you know, the children saw Our Lady. I'm just giving a quick overview of what happened. And she, after they had some conversation, brief, she pointed up to the sun, which had, by that time was starting to appear in the sky, even though it was raining. And the children said, look at the sun. And then, you know, people looked up, and the sun started to spin in the sky. I mean, really, really spin, really, you know, dance, as they say. The day the sun danced at Fatima, it just started to just spin, and then all of a sudden started to throw off all these different colors. And, you know, it's just like an amazing spectacle in the sky. But much more than that, it started to come down towards the earth, hurl itself towards the earth. And, of course, people started to scream in terror because they thought the sun was crashing to the earth and they were going to die. And, you know, many fell down into the mud and the water and prayed and cried out in terror. And then, finally, this went on for a while, I mean, several minutes, the sun stopped and went back to its place in the sky, and just like the normal sun. And then people realized everything was dry. The rain had stopped, of course, and no one, there was no water. You know, everything was dry. They were dry. The ground was dry. And this is after a strong rain. And, of course, everyone realized what had happened. And so that's the miracle. But the message, which is really the more important part, is that, you know, this is at the height of World War I when she appeared. In 1917, Our Lady appeared. And it was on the eve of the Russian Revolution. You know, so there's a lot going on in the world that was dangerous, very dangerous. I mean, you know, the greatest war ever, World War I, ever at that time. And so she came to, again, reiterate the message of the gospel, ask people to pray and do penance and for conversion, you know, and that God was, you know, wars are really a punishment for our sins. And so... but especially she asked, besides for people to pray the rosary, she always asked for that, you know, to have devotion to her Immaculate Heart as a special way of bringing down God's grace for us individually, draw us closer to Christ, and also for the world, for peace in the world. And then... so that was kind of those are the main messages of Fatima, but it was also a prophetic apparition. She told the children about things that would happen if we did not respond to this message. And again, it's not anything new. It's the same. It's what happens. It's what's happened in the world for 2,000 years if we do not respond to the message of Jesus Christ. So it's not like she was coming up with new and worse things that could happen. We've had bad things happen in the history of, you know, the last 2,000 years because we don't respond to the message of Christ. But she did prophesy certain particular things. Like I said, she talked about, you know, in Russia there's this revolution going on, and that if we did not respond to her request, that Russia would spread her errors throughout the world, i.e. communism, and that the church would be persecuted, and many good people would suffer, including the Holy Father, and another greater war would come, which was very hard for people to believe. There could be a greater war than World War I at that time. And so she also showed them a vision of hell to kind of reaffirm that hell really exists. And to, you know, for the children, it was really to kind of stir up in them even a greater desire to keep people from going there, to pray and offer sacrifice, which they did. And as you mentioned at the beginning of your show, two of them are going to be canonized. One, the older one, you know, just died not too long ago, but the other two died around 1920. And so that's Jacinta and Francisco. But these kids were incredible. They were incredibly committed to living the message of Our Lady of Fatima. They were heroic in that regard. And they were so young. I mean, they were 7 and 9 years old when Our Lady appeared, Jacinta and Francisco. If you think about that, 7 and 9, and they're just normal kids. Yeah. They weren't angels. They weren't saints at the time. And yet they completely changed and lived a life of incredible heroic faith and charity and you know, penance. But, you know, as Our Lady, and then Our Lady said the church would suffer and you know, even the Pope would suffer. You know, those are some of the so-called secrets of Fatima, or involved part of the secrets of Fatima that people love to talk about, which are not really the key part of the message. But, you know, they're interesting, and in some ways they're important. But the importance is, again, it's prayer, it's conversion, it's penance, it's the message of the gospel.
Right. To live that gospel message. Anthony Ryan with us from Ignatius Press, and a beautiful collaboration between both Ignatius Press and Rossacon Press to bring us this book and several others, as Anthony mentioned earlier, St. Faustina, Guadalupe, the Christ Relics. What a fascinating book to be reading right now in the season of Easter and on the Magi. And again, this one, Mary's Message to the Modern Age, in anticipation of the 100th anniversary of the Fatima apparitions. We're in this 100-year centenary, and it's a beautiful way to see different communities responding to the message of Fatima and how to, like you said, learn, live, and then what we're trying to do is spread that message to make it known so people learn the gospel and will live their lives according to Jesus Christ. We'll be back with Anthony talking more about this Fatima Mysteries book, beautiful book for you to get a hold of, and you will learn so much page by page, and I think this would be just a great meditation for your whole season of Easter to get you to Pentecost. Wow, it would be a great family pilgrimage, really, although people would love to travel to Fatima Fatima, you could travel there literally through the book and receive so many special graces in that openness to the message of Fatima. Stay with us here on Mater Dei Radio's In-Person Series. We'll be right back.
Support for Mater Dei Radio comes from listeners like you and from our Leadership Circle members, including Dr. Mark Bianco, family dentist. Dr. Bianco practices family dentistry in the neighborhood of 122nd Avenue and Stark Street in Southeast Portland. Dr. Bianco, family dentist, online at biancodentistry.com or 503-252-1722.
Deep Virtue with Bear Wozniak.
Aloha, this is Bear Wozniak from deepadventure.com with Deep Virtue number 80. You know, several years ago, I was walking along the beach in Waikiki, and I see a strong, howly-looking kid, you know, big and strong and pearly blonde hair, surfer. But he seemed to be just a little bit lost. He just didn't seem to be able to find his way in the world. And I just sensed that, oh, he was missing something in his life that told him that he could do anything he wanted to do. And I walked up to him. I said, how would you like to be one of the best tandem surfers in the world? And he looked at me and said, I'd love to. And I worked with him And that young man has been to the podium many times in championships, winning tandem surfing events. We need to have something in our lives. We need to have something in our lives that draws us. And I'm asking you, what is your passion? Now, I don't mean passion in the sense of being driven. But what is the desire that God's put in your heart? God has given you a passion project. God has called you, no different than when I walked up to that young man or when Jesus walked up to his disciples when he called them and said, follow me. Jesus is speaking into your heart, follow me, not just to have your prayer time with him and to love and serve your family, but God has specific callings in each of our lives. I know what I have in store for you, plans for peace, not destruction, a future reserved for you, full of hope. If you seek me, I will let you find me. If you seek me with all your heart, I will let you find me. God says, I have plans for you. Get close to the Lord. And ask God, what is your will for me, Lord? And then start to serve God wherever you are. Just find a way to serve God. And as you serve God, God will direct your path. It's like the tires of the car need to be moving before it's easy to turn the wheels. Start moving in the Lord. Serve where you are. Serve where you're planted. Develop, and God will develop a passion project in your life. This is Bear Wozniak from deepadventure.com with this week's Deep Virtue number 80.
Deep Virtue with Bear Wozniak. Find out more at deepadventure.com.
Would you like to make your spring cleaning plans a little easier this year? Let Mater Dei Radio give you a hand. If you have a car, truck, van, RV, or boat that you want to clear out, our vehicle donation program is just the answer. You can donate your vehicle to Mater Dei Radio and get a likely tax deduction in return. It's quick and easy, giving you a real jump start to your spring cleaning. Learn more about our vehicle donation program at materdeiradio.com.
Welcome back to our in-person series on Mater Dei Radio. Visit us online 24 hours a day. You can tune into the broadcast at materdeiradio.com. Like and share us on Facebook. And if you want to get a past program on our in-person, the morning drive, one of our evening produced programs, just get onto the website and go to our programming page, and a full calendar of the different programs that we have going from midnight to midnight is right there available. Ignatius Press, one of our absolute gems in the Catholic Church, housed in San Francisco, and they are able to not only produce and distribute wonderful books and resources, but now films, a lot of direct media online resources for every age, for every depth level in the church, whether you're just interested in learning more about the Catholic Church, whether you've been Catholic all your life, whether you're raising your kids and now want to have some resources accessible at home to continue to walk deeper and deeper in the sacramental life. It's all there. Fatima Mysteries, this newest book being released, Mary's Message to the Modern Age, is absolutely gorgeous. And I've always wanted to know a little bit better the crown that's on the statue of Our Lady of Fatima, because the story is that Pope John Paul II put that bullet that he received into the crown of Our Lady of Fatima. And there's kind of a close-up image, Anthony, of that in the book on the back cover. I went, oh, now I'd like to get to Fatima and see if I could get that close, but I probably wouldn't get there. Some of these pictures are so amazing. Can you talk a little bit about some of the photography that is portrayed in this book?
Sure. I mean, yeah, that's another stunning photo, as you mentioned. So, you know, the story of John Paul II, just quickly, his connection with Fatima is, I mean, he was always a believer and a promoter of Fatima, but it became very personal for him because of the assassination attempt on his life in 1981. And it was on May 13th. That was the day that he was shot. And, of course, that is the first day of the apparitions of Our Lady to the children, May 13, 1917. And, you know, the man that shot him was an expert assassin, and he was very close. And, you know, he had this all planned and was certain that the Pope was going to die. You know, he didn't shoot to wound people. And everyone else thought the Pope should have died, the medical people, but he didn't. And so the Pope realized that that Our Lady, I mean, it's a very detailed story, but Our Lady basically directed that bullet mm-hmm. to stay away from, you know, the vital parts of his body, the heart and so forth. And so even though he suffered greatly from that assassination attempt, he recovered. And so he realized that it was really the intercession of Our Lady, a particular Our Lady of Fatima, because it happened on her feast day. That's her feast day, May 13th. So he took the bullet that they gave him, from you know the bullet that he was in his body, and he took it to Fatima, and he had it placed in the crown as a thanksgiving to her mm-hmm. and to honor her for saving his life. So they do have a photo of that in the book. So that's an important part of the story because that made John Paul II realize how important the message of Fatima was. Made him realize it even more,
mm-hmm.
and so he. He did the whole consecration that Our Lady asked for of Russia and the world to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. That was one of the important requests of Our Lady, so that Russia could receive the graces that Russia needed and still needs for conversion and to stop communism. And as we know, John Paul II was really perhaps the greatest reason for the end of communism. And communism essentially ended during his papacy. It did end, really. And part of that, or maybe a major cause for that, was the consecration he made of Russia to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And so he's really called, you know, really the Fatima Pope, although all the popes in the 20th century have been Fatima Popes in one degree or another, including, as we know, Pope Francis, who's going to, as you mentioned, going to Fatima this year, honor the 100th anniversary. He's also going to canonize Jacinta and Francisco. Benedict XVI, as I mentioned before, is a great Fatima Pope. So I just wanted to underscore that. And there is the story in there. It actually begins with the assassination attempt in the books. Very yeah. dramatic. You know, a lot of incredible photos to kind of underscore, you know, the seriousness of this story because Our Lady predicted that the church would suffer, including the Holy Father. And one of the you know the secrets that the third secret really of Fatima, the one that was kind of never released for till later, had to do with the assassination of the Pope. And it turned out it was John Paul II, except he didn't die by Our Lady's intercession. But yeah, but the photos that you mentioned really are, I mean, they're unbelievable. I mean, and there's hundreds of them in mm-hmm. this book. You know, of everything that happened at Fatima, but also the thing about this book is it's a great overview of not just what happened at Fatima, but what was going on and has been going on in the world during or before, during, and since Our Lady appeared to show the connections with world events and the message of Fatima. You know, so the photos cover everything from, you know, all the details about Fatima itself, but also history. You know, what was going on in the world and in the church back then, to kind of before this, to set up the story, you know, what's been going on since then in the world and in the church, in politics, since then, to show all the connections with the story of Fatima and the huge importance it has and the huge impact it has and why it's so important still today, and as Pope Benedict said, perhaps even more today because we haven't fully responded to it.
Right.
And if we do, you know, we can change the world. I mean, just think about that. You and I, mm-hmm. you know, we often think, how can we have a real impact? We're just nothing. We're small people. But we can respond to this. We can be instruments of Our Lady's message of Fatima and really have an impact to change the world. You know, Fulton Sheen, let's bring in the great Fulton Sheen for a second. He was a great Fatima, Archbishop Fulton Sheen, great Fatima devotee. and wrote and spoke about Fatima a lot. I remember his one line, Fatima is fathomless, is what he said, meaning the message of Fatima is it got an incredible depth that you just can never really get to the bottom of. There's so much to this message and story, and with all the connections and then, you know, the impact it has on each of us and on the world. But in his book, The World's First Love, Sophia, your listeners want a great book on Our Lady, and that was his own personal favorite. He wrote over 60 books. He wrote a book on Our Lady called The World's First Love about Mary. He has a chapter in there called Mary and the Muslims. And in that chapter, he talks about the importance of the message of Fatima for Muslims. So, you know, we have this great conflict in the world today between, let's face it, between Islam and Christianity. And we're talking about Islamic terrorists mainly. We're not talking about just Islam. You know, there's a lot of good Muslims. We know that. But Islam has Muslims who some who are terrorists. And so he says in this chapter, Mary and the Muslims, that in his experience in working with missionaries around the world who go into Muslim countries as missionary priests, whenever they bring the statue of Our Lady of Fatima to certain areas, the Muslims show up and they revere her. Mm-hmm. Why do they revere her? Because the daughter of Muhammad, her name was Fatima. I mean, you see how God plans these great stories. This apparition, Our Lady appeared at a town called Fatima, which was a no place in our eyes, but it turns out it was significant in various reasons. One is because Fatima, as I mentioned, was the name of the daughter of Muhammad, the founder of Islam. And so, you know, the Muslims respect Our Lady of Fatima because of that connection, and they also respect Our Lady anyways. You know, in the Quran, She's respected. She's in some ways revered, but especially Our Lady of Fatima, especially her under the title Fatima. So Fulton Sheen said, as I mentioned, missionaries, when they bring the statue of Our Lady of Fatima, Muslims show up, they revere her, they're interested in her, they honor her. So it's a great way to preach the gospel to the Muslims, using the story and the statue and the message of Our Lady of Fatima. It's really a way to, you know, the Muslims are hard to convert. Mm-hmm. But he said missionaries have told him, and they found that using Our Lady of Fatima is a great way to reach them. So I think that's important for us to understand, because we often wonder, how are we gonna reach these people, these Muslims? They're hard to reach, but I think Our Lady of Fatima is the way. And again, there's another important part of the story.
Absolutely.
It's something you don't hear much about. Mm-hmm. The great Fulton Sheen had this beautiful chapter in his book about that.
Anthony Ryan with us from Ignatius Press. Again, the book is Fatima Mysteries, Mary's Message to the Modern Age. And it's about 400 pages, and as you mentioned, hundreds and hundreds of photos that are amazing. And when you just go to the timeline, two-page timeline, it starts around 1903, goes to 2013, you start to see all of the different things happening throughout government, politics, church history. You look at all of these different angles. We have a hard time grasping just one angle in history, but yet this book helps to put those pieces together. You mentioned, and you've got a lot of wonderful endorsements on the book, but one from Pope Benedict, and again, emphasizing this relative message. It is so important to us today. Maybe speak a little bit more to that, Anthony, about why this message is something that we should be talking about. It's not just something that'll come and go this 100th anniversary, but it is very relevant to what we're experiencing in today's culture.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that, you know, I'll just be frank. I think that some other supposed apparitions that have not been approved by the church have actually kind of got people away from the one that has been approved by the church, which is Fatima. And, you know, I don't think that's an accident, you know, because this message is so important. The devil does not want this to be promoted, obviously. And so, you know, Our Lady, other than Jesus Christ, the greatest enemy of the devil. This message is important because of, again, she reiterates the message of the gospel of prayer and conversion, repentance, holiness, but also because she had particular things that she promised in this message that she never promised before in her other apparitions. And she promised that if we responded to this message of praying the rosary daily, doing our duties and offering them to God, just our daily duties, we don't have to be heroic in the things that we do. We just have to be heroic in the way we do them. In other words, with love, with great love, just like St. Teresa of Lisieux. Do our little things with great love. That's what Our Lady's asking us to do, imitate Thérèse of Lisieux, the greatest saint of modern times. And we can have an impact on the world. We can bring peace in this incredibly non-peaceable world we live in right now. We, you, me, everyone that's listening to this interview can have a huge impact by responding to this message and, as Pope Benedict said, living it and spreading it, to pray the rosary every day and have this particular devotion to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. You know, when Our Lady, before Our Lady appeared, there's so many incredible facets to the story, but a lot of people don't know, or maybe we've forgotten, that for a year before she came, in 1916, and the angel of peace, he called himself, appeared to them three times. So an angel actually appeared to them for three times for in the year before she appeared. And the angel came to them basically to prepare them for this incredible thing that was going to happen to them of these apparitions of Our Lady. Just think about that. So there's all these steps that happen in this incredible story because it's so important. And the angel told them, you know, basically, first of all, he taught them how to pray, gave them some prayers to pray. They're in the book. And then he told them that the hearts of Jesus and Mary have designs of mercy for you. And so he asked them if they would offer themselves to the Most High God with prayer and sacrifices, and they agreed to do it, and he taught them some prayers. One time he came to them with the Holy Eucharist and the precious blood, and they were suspended in the air, and he went down on the ground and put his head to the ground and adored our Lord present in the Holy Eucharist to kind of underscore that teaching. But anyway, he prepared them for these apparitions, and then when Our Lady appeared, they were pretty ready. They weren't quite sure what was going to happen, but they knew something was going to happen. And again, she told them that God wanted to use them for this great message. And then two of them said, "Will we go to heaven soon?" And she said, "Yes, Jacinta and Francisco will, but Lucia will stay here to be an instrument of mine, especially to promote devotion to my Immaculate Heart." When she was around for over 90 years, you know, she lived a long time, and she just died not too long ago. Those are some of the reasons why this message is so important. Mm-hmm. As Pope Benedict XVI said, a great pope, a great scholar, the message is still very important, perhaps more important because we haven't fully responded. We can bring peace to the world through responding to the message of Our Lady of Fatima. It's that basic. That's why it's so crucial. And by the way, this book, I know there's a lot of books on Fatima, and it's not because we published it, but this book is perhaps the greatest book ever published. And those are not my own words. Those are the words of Father Donald Calloway, which we have in the back of the book. And Father Donald Calloway, as many of your listeners, I'm sure, know, is a great Marian priest today, a great zealous young Marian priest, a priest of the Marian Immaculate Conception. He's written many of his own great books on Our Lady. But he called this book a masterpiece. He said, "Fatima Mysteries is the most comprehensive and thoroughly researched book I have ever read on the Fatima apparitions. It offers a historical, cultural, and theological presentation of everything there is to know about the importance of one of the greatest events of modern times." So that's basically what this book does.
Yeah.
You know, it's just unbelievable. 400 pages, it's an 8x10 hardcover. It's really stunning.
Mm. It is stunning, and again, so comprehensive in the many different ways we want to look at and not only learn, but again, spread that message, the message of the Gospels, and that is the message of Our Lady. It is her peace plan, and we want to spread that peace throughout the world. Anthony Ryan with us from Ignatius Press. If you'd like to learn more about the book, just simply get onto the website, ignatius.com. The book, Fatima Mysteries, Mary's Message to the Modern Age. We'll continue to talk about the book, other resources, and ways in which we can prepare. We've got less than a month to go for the feast day of Our Lady of Fatima, and the year will continue with times to gather, to pray, and to continue to spread that message. We'll talk more about that after this on Mater Dei Radio.
Support for Mater Dei Radio comes from listeners like you and from our Leadership Circle members, including Dr. Mark Bianco, family dentist. Dr. Bianco practices family dentistry in the neighborhood of 122nd Avenue and Stark Street in Southeast Portland. Dr. Bianco Family Dentist online at biancodentistry.com or 503-252-1722.
Hello, this is Emily Jaminet with A Mother's Moment. One of the best kept secrets of being a mother is the joy and fun children can bring to your life if you choose to actually play with your children. no matter how old or young they are. Teaching your children what it means to laugh and play is an important part of growing up. This role can be such a challenge for us, since it's so easy to turn on a show or let them check out with video games versus actually playing. The Christian life is about living to the fullest. In John 10:10, it states, "The thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. I come that you may have life and have it abundantly." Christ desires for us to experience life to the fullest, while Satan desires to steal everything that is good and holy in your life. So the next time you have a choice to play with your children or do your chores and tasks, ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you what He wants you to do. For Christ came that we may have life and have it abundantly. And remember, moms need to laugh and have fun too. So let us pray. Dear Jesus, please help us to know when to play and have fun with our children and when to do our tasks. Amen. And may we be a light in this world by how we live our lives.
Let Mater Dei Radio take you through the Easter season to Pentecost as we strive to imitate the saints with some robust spiritual direction from Father Thomas Nathy, pastor of Holy Redeemer Catholic Parish in Vancouver, Washington.
All throughout life we need a plan, and yet in the spiritual life, hardly anyone seems to have put together a plan. We put everything in that plan that we need, and then we start to live it. All of the saints live their own rule of life, and day to day looks a lot alike because they've created this plan for themselves, and then from that, they can ultimately achieve that communion with God that we're all so desiring because His grace pours down upon the plan.
Take Father Nathy's advice. Tap into God's grace during this Easter season with a saintly rule for daily living. And make sure your plan includes listening regularly to Mater Dei Radio, the bridge between your faith and everyday life.
Leading souls to Jesus through the Blessed Virgin Mary, this is Mater Dei Radio into our 29th season of broadcast here in the Pacific Northwest and worldwide at materdeiradio.com. Beautiful endorsement of the book we're speaking about today, Fatima Mysteries, Mary's Message in the Modern Age from Father Andrew Apostoli. If you are a listener or a viewer of Catholic broadcasting, you have seen and heard from Father Apostoli, probably one of the greatest spokespersons for Fatima. In fact, his book, Fatima for Today, has a tremendous amount of details on Fatima. He says this is a very special book on the whole story, messages, and meaning of Fatima. It will help us to do what Pope Benedict has asked all of us to do, to learn, live, and spread the message of Fatima. With me by phone, Anthony Ryan of Ignatius Press, talking about this book and really preparing for this feast that comes up and will begin May 13th and will continue on up through October 13th and really through 2017. Anthony, as we look very close to May 13th, that first feast day that we'll celebrate of Our Lady of Fatima, just things that come to you of ways that we could start to prepare for this feast day, to gather as community and to really listen to what the message has and then start to live it out in our daily lives?
Well, there's lots of things we could do, both personally and with our families as well as our communities, our parishes. I mean, first of all, we can study the message of Fatima, mm-hmm. first of all, just study it. I mean, it's so rich. I mean, it's so inspiring. It's so beautiful. It's so hopeful. And then we can, you know, do the things that she asks us to do, which are simple. I mean, offer the morning offering. That was, you know, the daily duty. She said, just offer your daily duties to God, your prayers, your works, your joys, your sacrifices. So, boom, right out of the gate, right out of bed, as they say.
Yeah, that's right.
You can start your day in connection with the message of Fatima by the morning offering, because that's part of what Our Lady asks us to do, offer everything to God out of love, but also as a kind of a sacrifice, things that are good, things that are not so good that happen to us, our joys, our sufferings. And, you know, that can have an impact. We forget that. I mean, the greatest saint of modern times, as she was called, Saint Therese of Lisieux, by a pope who was a saint himself, Pope Pius X, who became a great, who was a saint, he called her the greatest saint of modern times. Well, how is that? I mean, she just died in a monastery at the age of 24. She did nothing heroic in the eyes of the world. Well, she did what I just said. She lived the morning offering, basically. So we can do that. The little things we offer them with great love, that's really powerful. Then we can, you know, pray the rosary every day. Pray it with intention. Pray it with love. Pray it with devotion. Pray it with meditation. There's many ways you can pray the rosary. You know, you can just say it as it is, but you could also do the scriptural rosary. There's all kinds of great little meditation books for the rosary. The rosary is really a gospel prayer, so it's the heart of what we believe. You know, you can make the five first Saturdays. That's part of the message of Fatima, is for five Saturdays, the first Saturday of each month, you know, go to Mass, go to confession. There's really several parts to it. Go to confession and Mass, and then pray the rosary. And in addition to praying the rosary, meditate on the mysteries of the rosary, which are really the mysteries of the life of Christ and Mary, for 15 minutes. And offer it all up in a spirit of reparation, and those are the five first Saturdays. So we can do that, and you can start any time. You can start now. You know, go first Saturday of May, and then just do it for the next five Saturdays. And Our Lady had great promises for those who do the five first Saturdays. She would be, first of all, graces that would come to us now, but also at the hour of our death, she would be there in a special way to help us to make that passage from this life to eternity. And again, that's all about this devotion to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. The five first Saturdays are really about devotion to and reparation to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. So those are some of the things you could do spiritually. But in terms of, besides this book, we have this great book by Father Andrew Apostoli called Fatima for Today, The Urgent Marian Message of Hope, which is probably the most well-known book on Fatima, mm-hmm. the most up-to-date in terms of just detailed presentation of the story as it happened. The book we're talking about, the photo book, is a combination of some of that and these incredible photos. But Father Andrew's book is probably the world's, well, certainly the greatest mm-hmm. expert in America on Fatima. There's also a great book for children we have. So if parents are looking for something for children to read, one of our books in the Vision books is called Our Lady Came to Fatima by Ruth Hume. And those books are for children really 9 to 15. It's a beautiful book on Our Lady of Fatima. It's got some drawings in there, some illustrations. Then we have two great films. And some people have said 13th Day, the movie, is the best movie ever made on Fatima. Mm. We didn't make it. We're fortunate to distribute it.
Yeah.
But it is a great new film on Fatima, The 13th Day. And it's a feature film based on really the diary of Sister Lucia. So it's really based on her own writings about what happened. So it's very authentic. And then the same men who made that in England, a couple of brothers who are filmmakers, they made a beautiful documentary called Finding Fatima. So we have both a feature film, a movie, and a documentary that are really incredibly well made. So those are some of the other items that we have. If people want to know more about Sister Lucy herself, there's a new biography out that we distribute called A Pathway Under the Gaze of Mary, biography of Sister Lucia. And, of course, that covers the story of Fatima as well. It's her biography, but it's also, of course, includes a lot about Fatima. So those are some of the other items that we offer for people to use, both for themselves and for their communities, to really, live and spread the message of Fatima.
Right, right. And Anthony, as we mentioned at the beginning of this program, we have heard officially that Pope Francis will canonize those two young children. And from what I understand, they're the first two young children to be declared canonized saints as martyrs. And to have that heroic virtue connected with them as young people, that the church wasn't quite sure about that for quite a while. And more investigation into the lives of these young Francisco and Jacinta has said, yes, these children can have those heroic qualities in their lives. This is significant for us on May 13th.
Yeah, it's really, really is significant. As you mentioned, they are the youngest people, in this case children, to be canonized who are not martyrs. So they were not martyrs, mm-hmm. but they, there have been some younger than them who've been canonized who were actual martyrs, children. But these two did not die as martyrs, but they lived such, lives of heroic virtue that they became saints. And so Pope Francis will canonize them. They've already been beatified on May 13th at Fatima. So it's pretty pretty significant. And as you say, it's significant in many ways for the church, but also for us, again, because here are children. I mean, again, remember, she was 7, he was 9 when Our Lady appeared. Lucia was 10. They only lived 2 more years, Jacinta and Francisco, a little over 2 years before they died. And they became heroic in those years to the point where, you know, they became saints. And they went probably straight to heaven. I mean, Our Lady told them they were going to go to heaven. But, you know, she told them they had to do, you know, it wasn't automatic, you know, for any of them, for any of us. You know, they had to pray and to live lives of deep faith and in charity, which they did. And so they, you know, Jacinta was 9 and Francisco was 11 when they died. And as you say, they are the youngest people to be canonized who are not martyrs. Think about that in the history of the church. It's staggering, really. All the things about Fatima are just so stunning. The whole story is, there's just so many details that are just so inspiring. But yeah, I think their witness is really, it's heroic for me as an adult to look at, to see how these little kids really responded in such a heroic way. I mean, they were very generous in their prayers, their love, their devotion, their sacrifices, their penances that they offered, really for the salvation of souls. I mean, they saw that, they saw hell. They didn't want anyone to go there. And so they were so fervent in doing everything they could to really save souls. And then Lucia, of course, lived another, you know, 80 years. Yeah. That was really what her life was all about as well.
Right. Anthony Ryan with us again, Ignatius Press. If you want to learn more again about those two films that are connected with Fatima and all of the other resources, it's Ignatius.com. And I think about the line from Jesus to Thomas, you know, blessed are those who don't see and yet believe. We weren't the small children in Fatima in 1917. We weren't the apostles at that time of the resurrection, but we're here today in this time. How will we respond to the message of the gospel? And will we be like those shepherd children? Will we be like the apostles who will go out there and even go against controversy, being flogged, being thrown in prison, saying you guys are crazy? Will we go out and continue to share the message? That's our call. That's
powerful. Absolutely. That is our call, and it's a privilege. You know, we have to remember it's actually a privilege for us to be able to do that and to be able to be a witness for Jesus Christ and, you know, just to be his disciples. And then we have Our Lady to help us. I mean, as she said to Lucia, who was kind of worried, you know, she said, they're going to heaven, and I'm staying here.
Right.
I'm going to be all by myself. Yeah. And she said, no. You're not going to be by yourself. I will be there with you all the time. My Immaculate Heart will be your refuge and will be the way that leads you to God. That's what she told Lucia. That's what she tells all of us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're not alone to follow Jesus Christ. We have Mary. You know, what else do we need?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so let's be fervent. We need to be fervent in this. And it doesn't take, you know, Jesus started with 12 apostles. You know, if we just had a handful of saints, we can change the world.
Exactly. Fatima Mysteries, Mary's Message to the Modern Age. Again, Ignatius Press. Thanks to Anthony Ryan and the whole community there at Ignatius Press. Nice to have Father Fessio on a little bit earlier this month to continue to help us to celebrate 40 years of publishing, and it's going to continue to go. Are you tired yet?
Well, not at all.
I'm
fired up. It's just
not
a privilege to be here. So,
absolutely.
Know, just, every day I wake up thinking, how blessed I am to be part of this great work of the church.
It is beautiful. Well, we look forward to hearing about more resources. Again, we'll get you back on the program in May and look at that beautiful month of Mary and motherhood. So please come back again, Anthony. Would you help us close with a final prayer for our listeners?
Sure. Well, no better prayer than the angelic salutation, as we call it. So let us join in the beautiful prayer of the angel to Mary. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death, amen. Our Lady of Fatima, pray for us.
Pray for us. Thank you, Anthony. God bless you. Have a very blessed Easter season.
Thank you. Same to you, Dina.
Thank you. God bless. Again, Anthony at Ignatius Press. That is Ignatius.com. And as we do come to a close today, I want to share these words this week tweeted by Pope Francis, who said, "When we have reached the lowest point of our misery and our weakness, the risen Christ gives us the strength to rise again." Blessed divine mercy to all of you, and let us continue to be a blessing to each another and to lead souls to Jesus through the Blessed Virgin Mary. This is Mater Dei Radio and in person.
You've been listening to In Person with Dina Marie. For more about this program and the Morning Drive, visit us online at materdayradio.com. That's materdayradio.com. Praise be Jesus Christ, now and forever. Amen.